Andy, we're a couple idiots. We don't know things about the human body and injuries and stuff. About anything, really.
I stand by my decision to drop out of school in third grade.
Yeah.
Learned enough.
You know what? You'd probably be sitting here because I went to college, and I'm right in the same place
and
you
as
are.
As far as biology and the body goes, few games of operation, I learned everything I needed to know.
Yeah, and he's qualified to perform minor surgeries. But when things pop up, it's important to get a little bit of insight, and of course, Pau Gasol's hamstring is the most important thing in Los Angeles right now. It's the most important string of any kind. So to get a little more insight, we've dialed up the guru, Will Carroll, sports injury expert, baseball prospectus, basketball prospectus, all the prospectuses, the prospecti, and the author of the Carroll Guide to Sports Injuries, which is available now through Football Outsiders. You can order that one up, and they'll send you a copy, and you can learn all about this stuff. Will, how are you?
I'm doing great. Actually, I'm just the editor. My father, Dr. William Carroll, the real expert on this kind of stuff, is the actual author. I've just always kind of been tagging around behind him, picking up all this information. Like you guys, I dropped out of school early, but I found my niche here with injuries. And with Pau Gasol, you know, every time I talk about him, I want to pull one of those David Caruso, pull off the sunglasses and say something witty. Just because he did that whole CSI thing. But, you know, this is an interesting story to watch, both for the injury itself and for the fans' reaction to it.
Yeah, I actually wrote a piece on the Lakers blog today about how I personally think this may just be a way of drumming up attention for the appearance. It's a brilliant marketing campaign.
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't be bad. You know, certainly... It was another couple. Was it Gasol that was on numbers?
Gasol and Jordan Farmar were on Numbers.
And then
Farmar's been on there a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to keep up with the Joneses. You know, Kobe's all over TV. Lamar's wife is on a reality TV show. Luke Walton had a brilliant turn on The Young and the Restless. Sasha's with Maria Sharapova. Andrew Bynum has playmates on his shoulders. There's a lot to compete with. So this is, you've got to go,
you know,
dirty pool.
Here in Indianapolis, all we've got is, I can't even think of her name, Hank Baskett's wife.
Oh, the bunny.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, Kendra, like my wife's into her.
So, yeah,
my wife watches that show.
She's ready to pop out a baby, and Hank Baskett has played like on two plays. So that's what you get here.
Well, it's cultural, I guess, is the only way to put it. So explain for people, for the benefit of people who don't understand why Pau Gasol has missed the first seven preseason games or eight preseason games, whatever it was, then missed, you know, the first seven games of the preseason or the regular season when it seemed like he was, you know, a few days away a month and a half ago or whatever. Why is he still not playing?
The easy way to explain this is to think of it as two injuries rather than one continuous linear thing that has gone on too long. What happened was Gasol strained his hamstring. That happens. It was the preseason, so they weren't rushing him back to begin with. But at some point along the way, he tried to come back too early. Now, the hamstring is just it's a muscle like any muscle, and it's made up of muscle fibers. When you get a tear in there, it's very literally that. It's tearing. You know, if you took a rope and you pulled on it hard enough, you'd get some fibers from that rope fraying out. And if you did it long enough, you'd have, you know, chunks out of that rope. And then you'd start looking at it and going, you know, I'm not sure I want to use that rope. I'm going to have to, you know, get some duct tape or something. That's what happens in the body. The body's duct tape is scar tissue, and it takes a while to build that up. It's never going to be as strong. Most estimates are that it's somewhere between 70 and 80% as strong. You have to build up the muscle around it to get back to, you know, normal strength and normal function. If you come back too early, you're going to break that rope once again. And that's what seems to have happened with Gasol. Somewhere along the line, he did a little bit too much. He jumped, he ran, he did whatever it was he did, and pop goes the hamstring again. And you start the process over again. If I tell you that an injury is going to take between 2 and 4 weeks to come back from, and at about the four-week point, because they were taking it slow with the preseason, he popped it again and had to start the process over again. So it's not that one hamstring took between 4 and 8 weeks. It's that he had 2 to 4 weeks, was back at that late point, and then started the process all over again. Now the key is making sure he doesn't do that again.
So that Powell yesterday, Wednesday, we're talking on Thursday, Wednesday afternoon at practice, said basically that everything sort of felt fine and that he, you know, it was only in hindsight that they realized they may have pushed it more than was probably advisable. Is that how this works? Like, you can't really tell how good it's feeling or how strong the muscle is until you go and try it?
Kind of. I think they had some idea that they were pushing it a little bit. You have to at some point. Mm-hmm. You have to say, hey, can you go out and do this? You can do all the testing you want. You can work out. You can take measurements. But let's face it, playing basketball is not a normal activity. There's a lot of jumping. There's a lot of running. There's a lot of stopping. There's a lot of explosive motion. There's a lot of things you just can't recreate in the lab. There's not a lot of things you can do in the training room that are actually the same as what you see out there on a basketball floor. So, yeah, at some point you do have to go out there and you have to make your best guess. And I'm sure the doctors and trainers took a long look at it. I'm sure Dr. Carazzi had quite some time with that leg and really felt that he was going to be ready. The problem is, as educated a guess as it is, at heart, it's a guess. And when, you know, you turn the wrong way, when you push a little bit just too much, it pops and you're right back at square one.
Yeah, so I mean, along the lines of what you're saying, with it being to some degree guesswork, even by the experts, while it may be frustrating from everyone from Powell to the Laker coaching staff to the fans, this situation where they don't make a ton of headway, it actually isn't that unusual, correct?
No, it's very... I hate to say usual, but it's all too common. We see injuries like this happen all the time, and you try to get guys back, and some guys heal quicker than others. That's why you give a range with injuries. Yeah, 2 to 4 weeks is because some guys will heal in 2 weeks, and some guys will heal in 4. And unless you know how that specific guy heals from that specific injury, it's really hard to say. No, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon to have setbacks. It's not uncommon to have, you know, multiple setbacks. Anybody that follows the Mets knows that Jose Reyes had multiple setbacks with his hamstring, ended up having to have surgery. Carlos Beltran has had that in the past. Basketball examples, there's tons of them. None of them, unfortunately, popping to mind right now. But hamstrings and knees are two things that often do have setbacks because there's just such a demand on the basketball player's body.
It seems like it's easier to put a timetable on a knee sprain or even like an ACL tear or something like that than it is a muscle pull because it is so sort of ethereal or whatever the right word would be.
It is. It's just very tough to visualize. You know, you can look at it and the leg looks like a leg. You can often have a palpable defect. You know, the muscle tear, like I talked about with the rope, if the muscle tears enough, you can put your finger in there and feel the dent, and it's disgusting, and you don't want to ever do that unless you're a doctor. But yeah,
or just a sicko,
or a really big fan of Pau Gasol in this case.
Yeah, I mean, if you get that close to Pau Gasol, his bodyguard's probably going to pound you within an inch of your life. The thing is,
fetishes? Like, are there people out there really that sort
probably
of thing?
Are.
Perhaps this is
there
something we could put this on
site somewhere.
We could put this on eBay. Poke Pau Gasol's hamstring.
Pau might like that. Yeah, the thing is, there's so much trust involved here. You have to know that Pau's telling the truth. That's one of the big things in sports. We've seen a lot of this, especially in football, where there's this macho Ronnie Lott cut off his finger kind of culture to rub some dirt on it and get back out there. Same thing in basketball. I mean, not quite as bad, but you know, nobody wants to be sitting on the bench. Nobody wants to be known as soft. You see a lot of that. So they're always going to want to get back out there. It starts to get a little Monty Python-esque. They're like, well, you know, your foot is falling off. You're bleeding from the eyeballs. No, I'm fine. I'll get back out there. But on the other hand, you have to trust the trainers. You have to trust the doctors. They have to have a line of communication. Then those have to have a line of communication with the front office, with the coaching staff. The coaching staff has to make a decision. Is 70% of Pau Gasol with a 20% risk of re-injury, is that better than putting Lamar Odom out there for more minutes? Is that better than, you know, whoever that 11th or 12th guy off the bench is going to be in a clutch situation in a big game? there's a lot of information that has to be processed, and everybody has to be on the same page. Otherwise, you're going to be making decisions based on bad information.
So then as somebody who seems both familiar with the Lakers and definitely familiar with hamstrings, this, I guess, track of cautiousness on their part right now, it's what you would recommend, it sounds like.
Well, I'm no doctor, so I mean, I wouldn't recommend anything. They're going to know a whole lot better than me because they're going to have a whole lot more information and experience on this. But, yeah, I think when you look at the Lakers and you look at the lineup and how much talent they have, and the fact that, you know, really the entire NBA is geared for having your team healthy in March, April, and May, just so you can get to June and hope that things break right. Honestly, the regular season, especially the start of the regular season, is all but irrelevant. There's no big reason to get him back there. It's not like the Lakers are falling behind the Jazz. It's not like they're chasing down the Thunder or something. The Lakers are still the Lakers, and they still have Kobe Bryant out there. You have to look at how it affects the team, and that can affect how you rehab somebody. You take your time first with a star player because you can't afford to have them out too terribly long. Gasol is certainly an important part, but he's not a critical element the way a Kobe Bryant would be. We often see the biggest setbacks with big men, first because they have different stresses on them, because, you know, the human body's not built to be 7'2". These guys often have a lot of physical problems, Greg Oden being the great example of that. They have more setbacks just because they have weird different forces on their body, and there tend to be so few of them. You can't replace your 7'2" guy because it's not like you have a whole line of them.
Last question for you, Will. There's been a lot, especially among Laker fans, and you see it, you know, across the NBA media, where people look at the amount that Powell has played over the last couple of years, going from the Olympics to, a finals run to the Olympics to another finals run to the World European Championships and so on and so on. The guy's played a lot of basketball. You know, to me, I don't know if you can necessarily draw that line between, aha, he got hurt, and he's played too much basketball. Have you seen any correlation between that sort of thing, that kind of activity level, and the amount that guys may or may not get hurt?
You guys have already read my college basketball prospectus essay, haven't you?
Yes. Well, if I say no, have I offended you?
No, because it just came out last week. Actually, that's something that I'm looking at hard right now. We didn't look at it, obviously, for college basketball perspectives. We were looking at something different. Throughout high school and the amateur ranks, these kids are playing hundreds of games a year. They're playing tournaments, they're traveling, they're on their high school team, they're on all-star teams, they're on AAU teams, and they're playing hundreds of games a year. And we found that knee, leg, and foot injuries especially have gone through the roof. And while I haven't looked at pro players and hadn't considered how much Gasol had played until you said it, absolutely. I think these guys, at some level, even though there's big differences between them and normal humans, they are human, and they do get tired. And when you're tired, your muscles fatigue, they're weaker, they have more of a chance of injury risk, and I do think that's a big part of it. The guy is he's a busy guy. The idea that travel doesn't wear on these guys, especially as much as he does, the demands on these guys' time breaks into the time that most would have to rest. The long extended schedule, the beatings these guys take. Basketball is a much more physical game, even over the last 10 years. So I do think there's something to that. I don't know if we can quantify it, at least not at this point, but I'd certainly say it has something to do with the injury.
Will Carroll, of baseball prospectus and basketball prospectus, all the prospectuses.
Hamstring prospectus.
Knows everything. He's our guru on injuries. Editor, to be specific, of the Carroll Guide to Sports Injuries, available through Football Outsiders. You can learn from him everything there is to learn about everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. I mean, and if it's not in the book, just call him.
Or,
he'll answer.
You know what? If it's not in
look
the book,
it up.
If it's not in the book, don't bother. Not worth learning.
Right, exactly. We appreciate the time and the insight on what is the most dominant story in LA basketball right now. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks.
It's always bad because that means somebody's hurt.
We'll try to find happier circumstances for next time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
See you.